Hey, sweetie.
I'll pull it to you.
Oh, no.
You know, that's what it is. It's basketball. It's not a soft sport.
I'm going to be a man, and if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. This man just gave me a job. I'm not signing that shit.
There's a lot I got to say, but I ain't going to do it here because it's free to hear. I ain't going to curse.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to NBL Pocket Podcast. I'm joined by Andrew Canyon. Say hello, Andrew.
Hey, g'day, Joe. Happy to be back again, back in the chair. Although I'm at the standing desk tonight, so I'm not
Are you
in
standing?
The chair. I'm standing.
Wow.
Well, let's see how it goes. I'm well and truly seated, let me tell you. We're doing an NBL preview. We're going to do this as quickly as we can. There's a lot of previews out there, so we're going to try and keep this a little bit original. We've got a new way of doing it, which we'll talk about in a second. But before we jump into that, I've got 10 copies of Marvelous left. I'm not one of those people who sort of says, oh, I've got, oh, for a limited time, quick, they're running out, when I've got a whole stack of them. I've literally got 10 left, mint condition, signed. You can buy them on eBay. Once the 10 are gone, I'm not selling anymore. Second thing, and Andrew, you like this.
Yeah.
Friday's game. Hopefully we can get off the ground. We're going to do a Twitch commentary of this thing, aren't we?
Oh, man. If this works, it's going to be sensational.
It could just be a it could be a third person as well. We shall see.
That's right. If nothing else, then it's just a couple of guys having a chat as if we were in a pub.
Exactly.
You know, COVID style.
Yeah, we won't be
hopefully
commentating the game at you, no.
Hopefully it's some valuable commentary. We are trusting that the NBL will host their co-stream, not just their normal stream, but yeah, I'm sure we'll sort out the links. Follow us on Twitter to find out where. But if you go to Twitch, I think there's an NBL PP account.
NBL double P, and you'll find us there. I'll put a link up on Twitter and a few other places that people can go to, but I want to make sure we can do it before I put out anything. What was the other thing I was going to say? Yeah, so what we're doing now is NBL preview, but the way we're doing this, there was a time when I was going to start sort of a website or a blog called One True Sentence Sports. That's Ernest Hemingway's catch cry, like try and write one true sentence. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through, give our predictions. We're going to do the ladder, spots 9 through 1. We're going to do MVP and all those awards. And we're going to give one sentence to explain why we've made that pick. And then Andrew and I, we've got a few challenges. We've got a challenge between places 9 and 5 to sort of not challenge, but ask for clarification if needed, more clarification as to why.
If one sentence just isn't giving us enough detail.
Exactly. Yep. So a challenge, a clarification challenge, spots 9 through 5, then 1, 4 through 1. And then on the awards is a bit of a hodgepodge, but maybe we've got one in there as well, because we're going to keep this nice and sharp. There's a lot of previews out there. Yep. But before we do that, a couple of things to talk about. Do you want to talk about Scott Roth first, Andrew, or do you want to talk about this Channel 9 Stan streaming deal?
Let's do the streaming deal first. I think that's probably at the forefront of people's minds.
If you haven't seen it, go to my Twitter at NBL Pocket Pod. I've put a link to the article on The Australian by John Shenstalt. It is a pretty reliable guy. Essentially, you describe the crux of it, Andrew.
Yeah, so basically there's talk that, well, the word is that the deal, the current TV deal they have, is coming to an end at the conclusion of this season. And whether it's an ambit claim, but certainly they're saying that there's about $20 million worth of value to the NBL TV rights, and that Stan is looking to beef up its sports production. They got the rugby. They're trying to create almost a competitor to Foxtel, KO, I guess you would say. And they're looking for sports and quality content to fill it with. NBL's sort of saying, hey, we're here, and give us $20 million. And it seems like they're ready to jump from the deal they're on now.
And there's this debate or challenge or sort of bidding war between Channel 9 and Stan. I want to ask you two questions, Andrew. 20 million? Does that sound like, I mean, they weren't worth naught last season or the season before. Now they're worth 20 mil. And then, you know, what do you think about that number, 20 mil?
I mean, look, it seems like it's, I wonder where the source of this article came from. It strikes me as potentially Kesselman and the NBL getting on the front foot and putting that number, anchoring, it's called, in the...
price anchoring, yeah.
Yes. So you set the number and then everybody just bounces around that. So it doesn't matter. You just want to get in and get that number out there. So that
it's like an auction. We'll start the bidding at...
Yep.
Whatever.
So suddenly if a buyer comes in and says, we'll give you 10 million, I mean, that sounds absurd because it's worth 20. We've already said that. So yeah, I think that's just a...
Oh, okay. You know, we'll take the 10 mil. We weren't getting much fun of it last year, but yeah, okay, we'll take the 10. I saw 20 million and yeah, I did sort of think, oh, has this been floated by the league? And you know, if they have, fair play, you know, you got to do what you got to do, but it'd be kind of cool. I think NBL on streaming service, Stan, I have Stan. It's a really good platform. It's Australian, not exclusively, but predominantly. So I think it'd be a good marriage.
I succumbed to Stan about 2 weeks ago.
Finally, for what reason?
Got it in the household. I think there was one movie I think we wanted to watch, and Stan had it, and it was the straw that broke the camel's back. And my wife said,
the name of the film?
I can't even remember. It wasn't me watching it.
Right.
But yeah, my wife said, "Dip, let's get it." And I'm like, "Okay, let's do it." So I think I'll we've got the full set now.
Oh, you've got Netflix, Disney Plus, Stan, Prime.
Yeah,
that's about it.
Apple make TV. Don't forget Apple TV. Got that too.
Apple TV, of course. I'll make one quick recommendation on Stan. After the Night, it's a documentary about Eric Cook, filmed in Perth, about his serial killer. That three episodes or four episodes, really good.
I've been a bit busy watching the latest season of Cobra Kai.
You know, I'm three episodes in. I think we'll find time to chat about that.
I would hope so.
Scott Roth, hired by the Jack Jumpers as head coach from assistant of the Wildcats. What do you think?
Out of nowhere, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he was unknown to the league last year, came in, helped the Wildcats out, and suddenly he's head coach. He must be a very impressive guy. I mean, the word is that
his resume is real good. You know, NBA resume, NBL resume, former player. Like, it's a resume that jumps off the page.
Yeah. And I got the impression that he really made a good impact at the Wildcats. I think all the players really liked him. I think he had that right balance of, you know, giving the guys a bit of a cuddle and telling them they're good dudes and we're on your side, but also being pretty cluey on the X's and O's. So I think, and look, if you can put up with Trevor Gleeson as your boss for a year, you deserve a reward.
One thing I'll say, I watched the press conference, and I say to people out there, sign up to the NBL's media opportunity emails. They're not hard. You just contact Nick Johnson. It's at the bottom of the page of the NBL website, and you too can be an NBL insider. And this NBL website, this media release that goes to really anyone, had the link to the Jack Jumpers press conference. So while I was cleaning the house, I had it on the background. I didn't ask any questions or anything, but I may have, probably couldn't have anyway. But anyway, in it, Scott Roth goes, I just want to thank my agent for helping me with this process. Have a guess who the agent is.
Lighthouse Sports?
Lighthouse Sports, Moldovan. And I was like, because, you know, there's some pretty good coaching candidates out there who are bigger names. Joey Wright, Rob Beveridge, yep. Chris Anstey, you know, a whole bunch of guys, Handy. And I just feel like maybe the Jack Jumpers have gone, listen, Moldovan's got the best catalogue of players. Let's start getting his good graces by getting
the down payment.
Okay, who's coming off books for Lighthouse at the end of this year? Okay. Oh, well, it's not Chris Golding, but I don't know about him. I think Adam Gibson's with Mogul. But anyway, you know, it's sort of a dipping a toe into the agency that's the biggest one in the NBL.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah. Interesting take. Hadn't thought about it that way. See, I'm too much of an honest broker. I just look at it and go, oh, who's the best guy for the job? Give it to him.
Is he the best guy for the job? I think he's a pretty good hire, but I mean, I don't think Joey Wright would have put his hand up or been interested, or they be interested. Rob Beveridge, I think this is,
I feel sorry for Rob. I think
I do too.
What's a guy got to do? I mean, really?
Yeah, right.
So, but look, that's Scott Roth. Good on him. It'll be interesting to see. He's certainly not going to be any worse than Connor Henry, let's say. So.
What a great place to start. Let's do our ladder. A lot of people are doing just the top four. Let's do the whole nine and do it quickly. Andrew, I want you to go first. We're going to go 9-1. So let's start with the ninth place team. Andrew, who are you predicting to be Wooden Spoon?
Adelaide.
And give me your sentence.
They're a terrible team with a challenged coach.
Wow. Terrible. Sorry, I'm not challenging. I will go with my ninth pick. I also have the Adelaide 36ers. And I'm starting this one off with a banger, and I'm congratulating myself. I'm patting myself on the back already because I feel like this sentence, very proud of this sentence. In describing this team, My sentence starts now. A coach who was last an assistant coach in the NBL, stats and minutes rigging for a next star, an import with an NBA career well in the rearview mirror, and 2 7-footers who are going to struggle to play together. Am I describing the Hawks of NBL 20 or the 36ers of NBL 21?
Very good. Very good.
Am I right? All those, both teams tick those boxes.
I can't believe you fit all that in one sentence. Well, there's a lot of commas.
Couple of hyphens, yes, but it's as I've written it, it's a sentence.
We're doing one haiku per team.
I had to do it.
Wow.
What is a haiku? What's 5 syllables? Oh, 7? I forget.
Japanese poem.
Andrew, I want your 8th place team, please.
Is Brisbane Bullets.
And why?
Lost their most promising star and have unknowns filling the breach.
I love it. No clarification from me. My 8th team is also the Brisbane Bullets. And my sentence is, they lost a near MVP, an NBA caliber center, and didn't go after an import point guard to free up Sobey while pilfering from a team that imploded. That's my sentence. Nice. No challenge, nothing there? No.
No, I love it. I love it. Your sentences are so much more in-depth than mine. I sort of went to the profundity.
I appreciate that. Andrew, speaking of profound, give me your 7th ranked team.
Sydney. My sentence is, the Sydney Kings have been gutted. There is nothing left.
Talk about profound. Yet no challenge for me on that one. I don't need further clarification. We have our first departure, though.
Okay, that's good.
I have the Hawks. And here's my sentence. Ogilvy, Bairstow, and Frolling is this team's front court. It may be the worst in the league. Gorgon may be a great coach, but he can't play for them.
Gee, that's good. It's good. I want to challenge it, but I think I'm going to save that challenge because you've outlined your reasons quite well there.
Appreciate that.
I disagree, but I appreciate where you're coming from.
Can I have your 6th place team, please, Andrew Canyon?
Yeah, 6, Southeast Melbourne.
All right, sir.
They will continue to be a fun offensive team, but I'm not convinced that they've yet learned how to play defense.
Yeah, no, I don't need a challenge on that one. I like your reasoning. Obviously, we have another departure.
Yes.
I have the Sydney Kings here.
And
my sentence is, Bogut, Tate, Lish, Cooks, Taylor, but also thankfully Will Weaver are all out. Adam Ford was a noble hire, but does he have the balls and the vision to stray from his former boss's ineffective substitution patterns?
Wow.
I have him at 6th. Yeah, and that's pretty harsh on Weaver, and I've gone beyond my sentence, but I just felt like Casper Weaver was their best player. The substitutions did not suit him. They suited other players,
yep.
And it was at his detriment, and that's what cost him. Sorry, I've gone over the sentence. If there's no challenge, I'll take your 5th team, please.
No, there's no challenge on that one. I've got number 5, the Hawks.
Wow, just out of the playoffs. Can I just quickly intersect it? Do you have them missing the playoffs by a lot, or do you have them right on like 4 or 5 of you can't?
Nah, I think there'll be a bit of a gap.
Okay.
A bit of a gap.
All right. Let's see your sentence.
A young team with enthusiasm will get them a fair way, but it won't get them enough other way.
Yeah, I don't think I need much more clarification on that. I like that.
This is you can burn your challenge if you like.
I can get burn my challenge. Okay, if I can burn, yeah, good point. If I can burn my challenge, can we go back to the Sydney Kings?
Yep.
Okay. You have them what? 7th, 3rd bottom.
Yep.
Can I get more clarification? So you don't think Casper Ware and Jarrell Martin, what do you think of Jarrell Martin?
Well, I don't know anything of him. Maybe that's half the problem. I know all the people that have left and I'm seeing what Tate's doing in the NBA. And so this Jarrell guy's got to be pretty good to replace all of that. I just think they've just lost too much talent. And they were built for winning then, and now all that talent's gone and they've got very little left.
I think I heard Matt McQuaid on the round table give their, because that team, remember, started what, 10-1, 11-1?
Yeah. Yep.
And then lost a huge amount of games the rest of the way. So those older bodies, as much as Will Weaver did his best to pace them, they still broke down.
Yeah.
Or at least they stopped playing as well as they were. So this team would now be younger. You would expect that wouldn't happen. I just really like Casper Ware. I just really hope that due to the roster being shortened, and it sounds like they're going to start Sean Bruce alongside him, that Casper Ware is going to play like, you know, close to 40 minutes a game. And well, I think if he does that, and Jarrell Martin's quite good because he's got that nice NBA pedigree, I'm relatively confident they'll be the sixth best team.
Yeah, I mean, I see your argument. And yeah, if Casper Ware goes back to sort of MVP level play.
You're not hopeful of that happening.
But I think he's a year or two past that. I think father time.
And he's only 30, 31.
I know, which surprises me to say that. Maybe father time's not a fair representation, but the body of work that I saw last season didn't convince me that he was there. He was so much better a few years ago.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I mean, look at those outs. Tate. Cooks is huge too. I mean, yep. Moller's their starting power forward. This wasn't an easy thing to do. I tell you.
Maybe the only thing in their favor, they did lose Lish, but they've actually kept him on the bench. And I think that'll be a real
that help. Will help. Yep. It's just whether Adam Ford's, is he going to play? Is he going to play those two imports 38 minutes and just be cutthroat about the rotations? Or is he going to do what every assistant coach does when they come in and play everyone fair minutes and sink this team? Because I actually, and also don't forget, Didi missed a lot of time last year, a lot of games.
Yep.
So hopefully he doesn't do that. I'm banking on that not happening. And then, you know, they've got a few other pieces. So I'm not hopeful about that. Okay.
So who's your number five?
I have the New Zealand Breakers. And here's why. Here's my sentence. Corey Webster is out. Patterson, by all accounts, is overweight. Colton Iverson is a 7-footer that they didn't need, and they're playing away from home, away from any and all the comforts of home all season.
Okay.
I think they pull apart rather than pull together in that pressure.
Okay. That's interesting.
No challenge clarification needed?
I am going to challenge it.
I've been bold here. I've been bold.
I need to understand. Do you not think that the Breakers there at number five, okay, mm-hmm. you don't think that sort of, you know, the underdog status, we're fighting it, we're doing it tough, we're going to bond, we're going to come together, which we fell apart last season. We know what that was like. So this year we're going to be different.
I think
crazy man Modi, like putting his arms around people.
I think when you've got a chance to go and when you go to the game, you're like, ha ha, crazy Modi. Oh shit, Modi's in the hotel door. He's in the hotel room next to me. Oh, I'm seeing this guy all the time. Like, you need energy is great in a punch, but when you're around it all the time, it can be grating.
Yeah.
And I just think Corey Webster's, you know, already they're starting the year behind. Patterson, by all accounts, is a bit husky, and Corey Webster's out. We saw what happened to Brisbane at the start of last year as well. And I don't think this is a season where you can drop games. Especially with the tight schedule. And then if Patterson's a little bit husky, he's got to come in, shed weight. You know, there's going to be really quick turnaround in games. It's not the season to be doing that.
Yeah.
So, and then Colton Iverson, big 7-footer. That did anyone look at last year's NBL and go, if we could just bring in a really big 7-footer to mirror Plumlee, who's also sitting on the bench in the last 5 minutes, we'll be...
I don't quite understand that signing, to be fair. I don't get that one.
I would rather have Brandon Ashley. And run with like that Delaney, Ashley. What was wrong with Rob Lowe? Rob Lowe's a perfect bigger body.
Pick and pop.
So his minutes now gets hemorrhaged. And I thought he was really good. And I thought Brandon Ashley was a really good little fit with this team. Terribly foul prone, which was a negative. But when he was on the court, they looked better and he's not there.
Okay.
I like Ty Webster though. Ty Webster's an enigma for me. I thought if he's really good, he could totally blow this out of the water. And he's got really good pedigree. But I just thought, I don't know. I see them pulling apart rather than pulling together. The basketball teams I've sort of been around, this pressure, the teams will pull apart.
Okay. Thank you for clarification.
You're welcome.
That's our bottom halves.
That's the bottom 9 through 5. Now we go into the top 4. Andrew, can I have your fourth place team, please?
Yeah, number four, I have the Perth Wildcats.
All right. Do you, I'm going to interject, it's not a challenge. Actually, no, give me a sentence and then I'll see if I'm going to challenge.
Okay. They've been hurt by the loss of talent, but the culture will get them into the finals. But they're not going to make any noise beyond getting to the finals.
Clarification challenge. okay, I've asked this question of a lot of people. Obviously, you have concerns about the roster. What, give me those concerns, and we'll go one by one and tell you why I may or may not have the same concerns.
Okay, I have concerns about leadership from the point of view. Damien Martin. Yep.
My question, just to jump in there quickly, how many games did Damien Martin miss last year?
Oh, plenty. And even the ones he played, he didn't really play exactly. A lot of the time.
That would be my counter to that. Do you find that at all compelling, or you still think his presence?
I think his presence, just that voice and that knowledge that he's there should he be required.
I will say, when he was named as a commentator, I was like, oh, no, that's bad for the Wildcats. I thought he was definitely going to be hovering around their bench. And I guess he will be, but... Imagine if he's doing the commentating and sort of
coaching
the team as well. No, so when I saw that, I was like, "Oh, that's actually a bit of a hit too." Because I thought definitely he'd be there in a polo, for the games and be that.
And especially with Scott Roth leaving, it was like, "Oh, bring in Damo for a bit of moral support."
Scott Roth leaving, like, this is going to sound terrible. Assistant coaches, they're not inconsequential, but they're game to game. They're a training partner, and I'm sure they do a great job of all that sort of stuff. But I remember the year before, it was, oh, no, Matt Nielsen's gone. What are they going to do?
Yeah.
And they found someone else suitable. Yeah. They'll find someone suitable. And that's not to discredit Scott Roth and the job he does. It's just Trevor Gleeson's the head coach. That is the title, and the assistant coach is number two. Who else is a concern on their roster for you?
I've got concern about the big. If Mooney... he's not really a centre. They'll have to play him there, but I see him more as a power forward. So they need more impact. They just don't have any real power in that front line. You've got Mooney, Jesse Wagstaff. It fades away pretty quickly.
To jump in, I looked at Mooney's performance in college and the way he rebounded. I just think, how does that not translate with the Perth Wildcats? They're the ultimate rebound emphasis team. I just feel he's gonna hoover up the boards.
It reminds me of the Perth Wildcats many years ago when they were just a below the rim team for a number of years in the pre James Ennis era. They were just below the rim, and they grinded out and they made it work. But I don't think you can do that anymore. I think you need some level of athleticism. And I think that's where they're lacking.
Okay. Any other roster concerns?
Nah, that'll do me.
You're okay with Blanchfield?
Oh, look, he's the best you could get. I don't see anybody else out there that I would say, oh, we should have gotten, X, Y, or Z. Nah, he's all right. And him side by side with Steindl, I think that's fine.
I agree. And I think also, who's he replacing? Tariqo White. Did Tariqo White set the world on fire?
Do a lot, no. No, so I think they're fine.
And I think Blanchfield comes from the Illawarra Hawks as well. Like, it's not like he had a bad year that team was just a mess. He just had a messy year. Like, he still kind of put up numbers and he still kind of played. The team was just ugly and messy and a shambles.
Yeah.
Whereas when you go like, oh, Tarangi, like, there was no reason why he shouldn't have done well in Brisbane, or let's say Cam Glidden.
Yeah.
Because, Brisbane had an Olympic coach, a decent roster, some imports who you could play off of. There was a reason for why Blanchfield had the year he had, whereas the others, it was more on them, I feel. So that's why I'm not as concerned about Perth. I just don't share the concerns. But anyway, let's jump on. My fourth place team, I really went back and forth on this, but I have the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix.
Wow. Okay.
Here's my sentence. A fully healthy Creek... A rejuvenated Ruben Tarangi, an explosive Sykes, and a versatile Ben Moore carry them through their inconsistent counterparts.
No, I've got to challenge it.
Okay.
I think you're missing.
Far away.
I think you just – there's one player that you haven't mentioned that if he's injured, Dane Penaud, How can you possibly have them that high?
Yanni Wetzel?
You think so? Untested? Unknown?
I think it's actually almost better that it's not better than Dane Pinot's out. I'm not saying that, but it just means like we're going to play more undersized, and that's, I don't mind undersized fives in the NBL.
But Pinot's a rebounding machine.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. And he'll be a miss, but I think Yanni Wetzel's a big body. They're just rebounds. You know, you just got to go up and grab them.
And you were the one complaining that they'd ditched John Robertson. And
I was. But here's what. I looked at their year and I went, who's their best player? And the answer is Mitch Creek, and he's the best local in the NBL.
Yep.
And he's going to be healthy the whole year. And I don't know who can kind of guard him. And I think that I just like him. I like him. And I think they've addressed some of the concerns for me where I think Ben Moore's obviously a huge upgrade on the bigs, on Keith Benson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kiefer Sykes and Robert. I'm still upset.
Grandfather
about
Clock's an upgrade on Keith Benson.
So that's an upgrade. So that's tick. The defense is a worry. I'm taking a risk with this one. I didn't want to just do the same as everyone else, but I genuinely believe this. And then I think, you know, Cam Glidden's in a decent situation where he can really sit in the background a little bit. But I just went, I think Mitch Creek is going to have a super year. I think
he's going to have a super year. Yep.
Do what he did at the start of the year when they were winning and continue it through the year. And, you know, hopefully the injuries aren't as bad. Gibson missed so much time. Creek was hurt through games and missed a bit of time. You know, Benson didn't play. Kendall Stevens, like, here's a name. Like, okay, if you know, you got two streaky guys in Glidden and Stevens, and I feel like he's going to get some free throw attempts at the very least this season. I think Ruben Tarangi is actually a good player. I feel like his time in Brisbane, I sat down and thought, and I was like, why didn't he kind of do well? And I think he'll. I just remember him in that New Zealand Australia game, and I thought, no, he's good. He can play, and I like him.
Okay,
and that's why I have him there. And then Kiefer Sykes is a good player.
Yeah,
he's got a good pedigree. He's not Robertson. I don't like him as much, but he's a good player, and he will score at the hoop, and that's important.
I don't hate it. I don't hate what you're telling me, but I'm not sure they'll get that to those heights. But they are Creek, like one of my
Mitch Creek in a bubble. Like if Mitch Creek is the bubble guy, or you know, this COVID season where it's just roll the balls out. You got to play every game really hard. He's that guy. Whereas the break is that Samar Patterson. I'm not as confident.
Yep.
Whereas Mitch Creek, you know, he's going to give 100% effort, and that's why I'm going. I'm doing it.
Okay.
Have I convinced you of anything at all? No.
I like the argument. I like it. I'm okay. I like the argument. Yep. I'm convinced. I'm convinced.
Convinced of my argument.
I'm not moving my tips though.
That's fine. Give me your third place, Dan.
Number three. I've got New Zealand at number three.
Okay.
And I think last year they had their down year. They had the depression. They had the violence of Glenn Rice. This becomes their year of the bounce back.
Yeah, no challenge.
Okay.
I had them in that range. I feel a bit silly doing this.
What's your number three?
Cairns Taipans.
You feel silly about putting them at number three?
Yeah, I might flip-flop them with who I've got at number two after hearing your argument. Cairns Taipans, they lost a league top 15 player in PER and Defensive Player of the Year in DJ Newball. How can they be better than last season? Question mark.
It's a fair question.
Like they have lost a guy who played 36 minutes a game or something ridiculous. They'll be good. Noy will fill the spot. But how can they be better than third?
I feel like saying something twee like addition by subtraction with absolutely no evidence or anything proof behind that, but just it seems like a right thing to say at this point.
I just remember I was thinking back and I was like, how many games did DJ Newbill turn for them? And I've gone way over a sentence, but that's why I have them where I have them. And then I think, Cam Oliver, still kind of mature. They drop games from things. Anyway, I've spoken too much. There's no challenge. Right. Andrew Canyon, second place team, please.
Well, I'll give you some more leeway because I'll say number two is Cairns Taipans. And here I will say, no DJ, no worries. We've got the king in town now.
Mahavi King.
Mahavi King, that's right. I think he's your DJ right there. I think I'm expecting big things from this.
Somewhere going, oh, come on.
I'm going over my sentence. Yeah, I should shut up.
Sorry, you've gone over, and I've not, no formal challenge.
Okay.
Number two, I've got Perth Wildcats.
Oh, number two. Do you know something about citizenship that I don't?
Maybe, maybe not. But here's my sentence. Even without Bryce Cotton's citizenship, this team is a lock for the finals. And I'm pretty confident in saying championship contention.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're an outlier on that one, you know.
I know I'm a real outlier on that one. I just think there's been no challenge.
No, there is a challenge. I'm challenging it. It's too high. I'm challenging it. It's
too high. And far here's why. This season, it requires incredible focus. Schedule's going to be changing. Plans are going to be changing. This was a team that fought through COVID-19 and was on the same page. This is a ruthless team organizationally. I think that Trevor Gleeson is going to have these guys ready. I don't think the other coaches are as ready to get guys in this position. I don't think these other teams, because they've had so much change, it's such a tumultuous year. The Wildcats are like, oh no, we know. Norton's there, Cotton's here, Wagstaff is going to push up and play the four, and Mooney's at the five to close out games with either Steindl or Blanchfield, whichever one's going. We know that already. I don't know who's going to start for Breakers. I don't know what's going to happen with Cairns, whether Noy's going to be up to filling DJ Newell. United have got a whole lot of new pieces and players moving major positions. The Army, and Red Army, but the Army with the least amount of questions about itself is going to win. There's no good and evil in the world. Every war is fought by two people or two sides who think they're on the good side of good. One of them, it's a matter of which army doesn't have as many questions about itself. And the Perth Wildcats don't have any questions about themselves. And that's why I have them. And I like Mooney.
I love it when you get poetic and wax lyrical. I enjoy that so much.
You know, when round three comes up and there's no schedule 4 days before the event and the Wildcats get handed the schedule, Gleeson will go home, he'll have a moan. And then he won't let it show. And he was like, okay, here's what we're going to do. Da, 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 yeah, get it done. And that's it. Whereas the other teams, they don't have that institutional structure. Plus, they don't have Bryce Cotton. And Bryce Cotton, a team with the MVP, wins this league, I think it was 35 or 36% of the time. And that's historically when there was more than nine teams. So if there's, you know, that's, you know, when the league had nine teams. Let's say the league's always had nine teams. If you go to a casino, and you bet the highest probability game is 49% the roulette wheel, red or black. And that's with two variables, well, three considering the star. The drop-off is only to 35% with nine variables. So the MVP is a very good gauge of who's going to win it. And they have Bryce Cotton. He's the best player ever.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Nah, it's a very good argument. You're making me feel better about the situation, given that I'm from Perth. I have a lot of history invested in that team. But yeah, right.
They'll make the playoffs. This talk, they're not going to make the playoffs. I can see why they're not contenders. I can see where you had them place fourth. I get that. But you had them fourth with a pretty close lock. Am I right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I did. So you're right about Bryce Cotton. It'll be great for the league if he just comes out with a flamethrower and says, like, yo, everybody, I'm the MVP. Watch this. And just starts putting 40s on the board. Like, that would be awesome.
And he's the kind of guy who's got that endurance to do it. He's not a player who, you know how you get those really good scorers who sort of have a plateau where you're like, wow, he averages 26 a game, but his highest ever score is like 35.
Yep.
Cotton's not that guy. If you let him get hot and let him keep going, he'll give you 40, 50, 60. Look at the grand final.
Yep.
He's that endurance type who'll keep hurting you. So I think that they'll keep playing through him. And look at all these teams. What have teams done to stop him? I mean, the championship goes through him. What have they done to counter him? And I don't see anyone who's really done anything other than the Hawks, or so they say, to counter his production. So that's another thing.
Okay. Well, I think by the process of elimination, it would appear that we both have the same team picked at number one.
Give me a sentence.
It pains me to admit it, but they're loaded. And because of that, they'll probably win.
I like the probably. The probably is not for me because it's the perfect word to use. They will probably win. I have the same team, Melbourne United. My list is, and I say this with no hard feelings at all,
My sentence is, they're a talented team featuring Scotty Hobson and Jock Landau with an empty import spot and nearly an entire season of home games. Dot, dot, dot.
What do you call a dot, dot, dot?
It's not a
people out there.
It's not ellipsis, is it?
Ellipsis. I'll say that again. They're a talented team featuring Scotty Hobson, number one, and Jock Landau, number two, with an empty import spot and nearly an entire season of home games, considering the NBL Cup, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And what might happen with the schedule. That was too compelling for me to...
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you compare their season to New Zealand's. I mean, just the perspective they've each got on the league, you know, like it's like they're playing two different, you know, yes. two different and leagues.
Quietly, my fourth pick for the fourth place, the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix. They also get that benefit. That was also a factor of my thinking.
Yeah, fair play. Yep,
I meant to mention that. Any last thoughts on that?
Nah. Well, other than we are probably both wrong, I'm sure there'll be some sort of surprise. No, probably not at 9-8. I don't think we're not expecting surprises
there. Do you have any definite locks for me? I just think Adelaide are the bottom team with a padlock so big.
Yep.
So big.
Yep.
Just like a great big bass, both hands out wide. I really don't like their team.
I just want to say, you know, to Adelaide, thank you, because if you consider the NBL to be a big building, every building needs a really solid foundation. And Adelaide are that concrete foundation right at the bottom, doing the heavy lifting, holding the rest of the league / building
up. And I think Adelaide's going to be okay with it, because it's going to be they're the Illawarra of this year. Oh, yeah. We're rubbish, but we've got a next star. This is fun. Is everyone enjoying the next star? Yeah, we're rubbish, but we got a next star. And I said enough of my sentence. Let's go to the awards.
Cool.
Which one do you want to start with?
MVP.
Do it.
So I've got Bryce Cotton, still the benchmark, and this year on a weaker team, will be asked to deliver even more.
Nice. I literally have Bryce Cotton with a full stop. That's my sentence.
Was that your sentence? Just
that's my sentence. I what more needs to be said? He wins it every year.
Yep.
And it went healthy.
Yep.
I've got another category and I'm throwing it on you, so you don't need a sentence for me, but local MVP. Who's going to be the best local?
Mitch Craig.
Definitely. Any other contenders?
Jock Landau, perhaps.
Yeah, Jock Landau is a huge candidate. Yeah,
Who have you got?
Creek for sure. Landau close behind, but I just think he's going to be too eager to please to put up the stats required for that award.
Sure.
Next award, what do you want to go with?
Defensive.
Do it.
I'm not even convinced my own pick here.
Yeah, tough. Really,
really tough, really tough. Yet you want to see some evidence. But I'm going to go Justin Simon from the Hawks. I'm going to say he's got Gorgian riding him, and D is his avenue to the NBA.
Yeah, good call. I've got Casper Ware. I'm really banking on him having a turnaround year. I've put a lot on that guy if he lets me down.
You're just pushing all your chips into the middle of the table there.
I just think he's good. I looked at their year and I was like, he's not a bad player. He has been managed wrong. I refuse to believe that's Casper Ware.
Yep.
I saw this guy in the flesh absolutely destroy Jerome Randall.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely pulverized. And that was but 1 year ago, and lead that team to the finals, which was a roster that then the next year was nowhere near as good. So I refuse to believe.
I love his post defense. I love it, the way he defends in the post. It's so good. He mixes up his bodying up versus that old, you know, pull in the chair move.
Oh, he's brilliant.
Nobody better.
Next award. What do you want to go with?
Six man.
Do it.
Corey Webster.
I miss time. I'm shocked to hear you say this.
Now, this is a
Is he going to come off the bench?
Well, I think so. I think, and this is a bit of the debate, right? Is he? I don't know. But I've put it, the reason I've said Corey, this is presuming his hand repairs from his.
That's a big if as well. I meant to say that with my New Zealand pick. Like, he's just done nerve damage to his hand. Ever known anyone to do nerve damage to their hand?
No, I haven't. Can't speak to it.
I can, and I can tell you, it is a iffy injury that's very hard to predict and very hard to recoup from. So everyone is like, oh, it'll just be a couple of weeks. I'm like, not in my experience. I'll say that much.
But. Okay. Well, this
especially
is
when you
game with your hands like basketball.
I'm picking fully fit Corey Webster here. So, but I'm saying he's a world-class scorer and you put him up against bench units, say no more.
Yeah,
fair. So as a sixth man, you just pump him in and points galore.
I've got Clint Steindl.
Okay.
And my sentence is essentially, with the doubt around Corey Webster, I think he's the next sure thing.
Well.
He's definitely going to come off the bench. And I think he's going to score. And I think he's going to get more minutes. Sorry.
Yeah, he's never been a sure thing ever. So maybe this year is that year.
I think this is the year he just has a few blowout games. I think more is going to be asked of him. And I think he's actually going to give more. I'm a fan of Steindl.
Okay.
Next award, what do you want to do?
Rookie.
Go for it. This is... what? Sorry, I'm interrupting. Sorry.
I thought long and hard. I sat and thought.
That's for sure.
Mojave King.
I can't believe this. Challenge of challenges. What, please, give me a sentence and then
explain. My sentence.
I've explained it.
I think you'll get more... He will get minutes as this year's DJ Newbell in that system. So there's a few elements there you need to pick it apart, right?
Okay. He'll get more minutes as part of that system.
Yeah.
You don't look at that and go, I think that's Noy. I think Noy takes that spot. Long, defendery type with the more experience, a bigger body. I think he's destined to take way more of those DJ minutes. And then I think Mike Kelly has a pretty – the thing is if Jerich had a – blowout year last year and isn't dependable this year, then you've got a very good case.
Yeah,
but okay. I think he's sort of relatively dependable, that guy, to shoot it and play hard. So
okay,
I don't actually see where Mojave King is going to get a huge amount of time, and they're contending.
Yeah, right. So you're saying they're gonna go with what they know. They're not going to give the rookie time.
Mike Kelly has been known to find a team he likes and play him 35 plus.
That is true. He is the anti Will Weaver.
He's the anti-Will Weaver, the anti.
So I'm assuming by your shock and anger at my pick, you are going with a certain player from Adelaide.
Both Adelaides are locks for me, and here's why: I have Giddy. And I think Mojave King's probably, you know, as nice a player, if not more so. I really, who can tell at this point? We've barely seen either of them play much. But I think Giddy's a lock because Adelaide are going to finish last. Minutes are going to be flying around. You know, there's all talk of, you know, he's been guaranteed sort of minutes limit. You know, they're going to be poor, a worse team. So, you know, he's going to have a bit more free reign to experiment. But he's still got nice players around him that can complement him. Like Sloan will help him along. DJ will make him look good with a couple of nice catches and jump shots and whatever. So, plus they're not contending to win. So they're just going to be happy to play him. I think Cairns, they're going to get to a point where it's a little too tense to be training up Mojave King.
Yep. Fair call.
I have Giddy as a lock. And then also the fact that, you know, son of a pro, these things count in the NBL and with the fans and, you know, son of a former pro. And
yeah. I was impressed when I saw Giddy. Did you see the highlights of the game where he faked that handoff, went baseline and jammed it?
I like the dunk. But I saw a kid who was under pressure, so just went, I'm going to go as fast as I can on my strong hand and go to the hoop. I wasn't as impressed by that play. Loved the finish.
Okay.
But it was Noy got screened by Cam Oliver, got caught in his own guy. It was a nice looking dunk and finish, but I thought, oh, here's a kid that skimmed the sideline, skimmed the baseline and went for a dunk. I was like, when that's game pressure and things on, some guy's getting a foot out of bounds and taking a charge.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But he was impressive, and I like him.
Yeah,
he's a 10.8 rebound, 6. You can't look past that for a rookie.
Yeah. So.
What's next?
I'm glad we differ on that one though, because that makes it more fun.
I think so too.
What do we got? Most improved? Improved?
Yeah, who you got?
This is.
What's this? Such a silly award, but cool.
You sucked last year award. It's going to Cam Glidden.
Wow, at his age, I just don't think that's the narrative of that award.
Well, my sentence, everybody knows he had a shocker last year and that low base will help him win this award. Like, basically, yeah, the you're crap last year award.
I have, and we'll talk about this a little bit after, but I have Craig Moller.
Well, he's going to get the opportunity.
Craig Moe, Mo minutes. If he cooks out, he's going to get minutes. I think he's going to get the minutes. He's going to put up decent stats because they're going to be a sub-bubble, a sub-finals team. And he gets his minutes, he gets his points, and he's memorable with that hair.
The only way he wins that award is if either he has found his three-point shot or he puts it away and he just goes inside.
Well, I would argue he's going to follow the Dane Pinot model.
Yeah.
Who came achingly close to winning it. I still don't quite know how he didn't. Who did win it? Oh, did he win it?
I can't remember. It seems so long ago.
Sean Bruce and he, I think, were the big contenders. I think it was Dane Pinot.
No, it wasn't. It was Sean Bruce. You're right.
No. Or was it? Anyway, one of the two. But I think he's going to follow the Dane Pinot. Dane Pinot was right there. So I think he's going to follow that model and get there pretty close.
Yep.
Let's go second and first teams.
Oh, hang on. What about Coach of the Year?
Oh, pardon me. Coach of the Year.
Brian Goorjian.
Sentence?
The NBL won't be able to stop themselves from creaming all over him.
I'm afraid that has already happened. Coach of the Year, Trevor Gleeson.
You reckon? He never wins.
He never wins, but I think my sentence is basically they will overperform amidst the finals. I'll butcher this sentence. It's cut off by the printer. Basically, he's going to overperform in the face of the people predicting them not to make the finals, and that's going to be enough to finally get people to see what's going on there.
Yep.
That's what I had there. Okay. I like yours though. But I don't think the Hawks are going to. Yeah.
I don't think you'll be warranted. Don't get me wrong here.
Everyone, I just hear all this. Oh, Goorjian. And listen, I love Brian Goorjian. Great character, great coach, no doubt about it. But I look at that team, and they're they've got some talent and kind of nice. But I just don't. I don't see them being. He can't play for them. Basic. And everyone, Dinga Dell, nice player, but we are talking about a guy who, Mitch Creek is on the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix. Dinga Dell was not on that Boomers team for a reason. He wasn't as good as Mitch Creek.
That's true.
That's who he's gone up against. So, second team. Let's go there.
Okay, I didn't actually do a second team. I'm sorry. I just did the five. Team. Yeah.
Yeah, do the first team.
Do you want to give your second?
Oh, okay. Casper Ware, Ty Webster, Lamar Patterson, John Mooney, and Landale.
Okay.
You can kind of see where I'm going.
Yeah. It makes a lot of sense. Makes a lot of sense. Even John Mooney, I laugh and I haven't been his biggest booster, but
he's going to stat like crazy. He's going to be a 20 and 10, close to. He won't be 20, but he'll be, 18.
15, 18. Yep.
I don't know if it's Nick K influence, but it's Nick K numbers.
Yep.
Oh, fuck. John Moo, you better be good. You better be good, pal, or I'm coming looking for you. Or the Wildcats will cut your ass and bring in someone else. That, guarantee it.
Oh, that's a good point. We haven't actually had the first import on the plane award.
Oh, wow. Let's save that. Let's give them some time. That's only fair before we do that. But I do have an answer to that question, but I'm not going to give it. First team, Andrew. Give me it.
I've got Bryce Cotton.
Yep.
Scott Machado.
Yep.
Scott Hobson.
Same.
Mitch Creek.
Same.
Cam Oliver.
I don't think so. Machado's a lock. Cotton's a lock. Hobson, was there any kind of debate with you with maybe, maybe they go slide down Creek into a Landau and Oliver? Was there any debate?
I thought about it a little bit, but I just thought, nah, I think on the way they've mucked around with the positional things before, they're just best players.
And I think Hobson's going to be the best player on that United team.
Yep.
With Landau not far behind, I think Landau will be very good. I have the same team, obviously.
You went Cam Oliver as well.
I went Cam Oliver as well. I think he's going to have a freakish year. I think he's returning to the NBL. He doesn't have to play nice with that team. He's going to get major minutes. He knows it. Mike Kelly knows it. He's picking up where he left off. Whereas Landau, he's got to kind of play nice for a bit.
Yeah.
Pretend he's not a stud and then, slowly towards the end of the year, take over games.
Yeah.
So Creek's a given.
Yep.
Move on.
There we go.
The last question is, who's going to win this thing? Is that the last category? Am I right?
Who's going to win? Yeah, okay. I suppose we picked the ladder, didn't we? So who's going to actually win?
Who's going to actually... Big difference between the ladder and who's going to win.
True. I'm still going to say Melbourne. I just, am I? I said Cairns a few weeks ago, didn't I? But no, I'm going to go Melbourne.
Okay. And a degree of what percentage of confidence would you be? Degree of confidence?
76.8%.
Wow. Quite, you're really confident. I don't have that answer.
See, I feel like I've been framed. You set me up.
No, you have not been framed. I'm making risky calls, but am I really making a risky call with this one? I think the Perth Wildcats are going to get a three-peat. Here's why. They have Bryce Cotton, he's best in the league by a margin. I think this team's most prepared for this year. They've got a taste of it last year with COVID. As I said, they would have played through zombie apocalypse. Yep. They don't care. They don't care. If Mooney's not good, they'll cut him. Cotton is going to get his citizenship if he hasn't got it already. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. A nudge is good as a... what is it? A wink is good as a nudge to a blind bat in the dark. I think that when he gets that, they get a third import, it's over. And whether that import's Plumlee or someone else, it doesn't matter.
Yep.
And then that's enough, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Look, if any team knows how to travel, it's Perth Wildcats.
Exactly.
So they're a young team.
People say, oh, Mooney's young. You kind of need young guys this year. You don't want guys with families with, you know, little framed photographs of their family weeping at night. You want young men who are like, yeah, whatever, I'll play.
Yeah.
I'll do it. And that's, if you really look at that Wildcat team, other than Cotton, Blanchfield, Steindl, Wagstaff. Norton's young enough. Like, but they're just, I just think they're on the page.
Yeah, right? Okay.
And I'm calling it. I think they win three. I think they want three. They're going to pay for three. When that citizenship comes forward, they're going to get a stud. And you know, it's a good year to be looking around if you're in the middle of COVID. I mean, Vic Law fell to Brisbane, and he seems like a really good player.
Yep.
You know, guys are, you know, some good guys who haven't really got deals because of a tumultuous international market. So that's why I say the Wildcats.
Yep. Yep. James Harden's looking for a trade.
Yeah. We'll trade you Greg Hire, Wilbur's head. Let's go round one tips and then get out of here.
Sure. Can I just, before we jump into round, I just want to quickly say, I was thinking of storylines. What were the storylines for this season? Oh, yeah. I just want to get three off my chest. I thought the ones would be the Wildcats get an import or miss the playoffs. Okay. We sort of talked about that. Has Gorgian learnt to let go of the reins and adopt modern basketball? I think that's going to be a fun one to watch.
Yep.
And do Melbourne need more than one basketball on the court?
You know, can we talk about that for a little bit? I meant to bring it up. I think that's a great question. Can, you know, there's a coach who has this quote where it's like, it's really tough coaching a superstar toward the end of their career. That's Chris Golding.
Yeah.
People may hate to admit it, but, you know, he's that 32, 33. You know, his best years, they are behind him. He's still got plenty of basketball. We like him as a player. He shoots well. He can score. He's a dangerous player. But his best basketball was, you know, back that way.
Yes.
And, you know, can he defer to Hobson? They had a really hard time deferring to Melo Trimble and Sean Long. Now, different players to Landale and Hobson, I'll admit that.
Yeah.
But still, the principle is the same. And then, Dean Vickerman. Can he just go, when is he going to be able to go, that's my best five players and I'm going to play him? He likes to get a bit flirty and, you know, in a final series, that doesn't fly so well.
Yeah, it's
good. How did they lose? How did they lose that game to Sydney when they're up 20? Remember game one, they were up 20 points? How's that happen?
Yep.
And then they win the next one by 40? Like, erratic.
Yeah.
Come on, Dean Vickerman. We believe in you. Any other storylines?
No, that's all. I just thought there'd be fun things to sort of keep an eye on through the season.
Oh, yeah. They'll rear their heads, ugly or otherwise. Give me some tips.
Tips, all right.
Okay. I've only just written who I think is going to win. I've forgotten to write who's playing. Do you have that in front of you?
Yep, I've got them right here in front of me. I can tell you.
You read them out.
And we'll okay, we tip it off with Adelaide 36ers versus Melbourne United.
Melbourne United.
Yeah.
Naturally.
I'm looking at now. I'm not looking. This is using the one of the ESPN sites. So I'm hoping that they've got their
Oh, you're using the tipping site?
Yeah, I am. I've just had it in front of me. Now I'm nervous. Yeah, actually,
that's right to me. Brisbane Hawks.
Yeah, okay. They're not running on version 2 of the roster or the fixtures. I mean,
I'm pretty sure it's up to date. This is footytips.com.au with their NBL.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Okay. So Adelaide 36, Melbourne. Yeah, we're both saying Melbourne. Next is Brisbane Bullets, Hawks. Fascinating contest.
It is a little bit. Who are you going with?
Hawks.
I'm going to say Brisbane.
We just panned the Brisbane Bullets. You can't.
Yeah, well, here's why. I didn't pick the Hawks particularly high either. But I think Bullets, they've got a little bit more of an established rapport. Hawks, real young, real nervous. I think they're going to be a little bit shaky. And then they need Gorgon to hold their hand a bit too much and they're going to lose.
Okay.
I'm a zany picker. What can I say?
Okay, this may be my favorite game of the round simply because of the venue at the Snag Pit. Cairns Taipans, Sydney Kings.
Cairns.
Cairns are mine. And then we go over and we go to...
This is an interesting one.
Adelaide 36ers against Southeast Melbourne Phoenix.
Who you got?
It's at Adelaide, but what I've just absolutely paid out in Adelaide. They're not going to win. Phoenix.
No, I don't think so either. They'll start the year 0-2, and that will just set up their whole season.
Yep.
Last game of the round, Andrew Canyon.
Cairns Taipans, Hawks.
In Cairns. I think we're both leaning towards
Taipans.
As am I. I have clicked. I'm submitting my tips.
Oh, we are on my footy tipping. Hang on. We got to pick a margin for that first game. Well, I'm not going to tell you what the margin is.
No, don't do that. Secret. We'll keep that secret. Anyway, that's it. That's one true sentence sports. We kind of went beyond one sentence, but I still feel we did it pretty quickly. And, we still went an hour. But bother. Oh, well. What are you going to do?
We're good at talking.
I hope people enjoy it. Andrew, last words?
Finally, we are here. There's actually a season. I don't care what happens with the fixtures. Just give me basketball. And watch it not on your television set. Watch it on Twitch.
Yes.
Watch the NBL Pocket Podcast attempt.
We won't be commentating. We'll be having the chats over the game.
Says you. I've got my user-friendly roles. And
the non-preferred left hand.
Yep. Yep. I might pull out a classic, the flying frap doodle, going way back to the 80s. Wow. Yeah, I've got it all.
Let's go way back. Thanks for listening, everyone. Ciao.